Life is an adventure.
But the body is a prison.
It doesn't come out brown. Like it has like a...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What the f is happening right now?
And still working, that's so cool. No way.
I'm Hank.
And I'm Georgie.
And this is Ask Hank Anything. Hello, I'm Hank Green, and I love questions. So I created a whole show where I get to answer people's questions, and I bring in people who I want to talk to, who I know will ask me good questions, and then I answer their questions, but I also learn more about you from your questions. This is Georgie, also known as Soupy Time on TikTok. That's how I know you. Georgie is a TikToker, content creator, storyteller, just always making people laugh on the internet. I'm really excited to see you. Thanks for coming out to Ask Hank Anything.
I'm so excited to be here.
You hit me with some real mind benders.
These are questions that are honestly not just for you. I have had many, well, some of them are just for you, but I have had many for a very long time that I need answered today.
It sounds like there's been like a part of a process, like conversations you've been having. In fact, already I'm going to start psychoanalyzing you because I feel like a lot of these questions are about the sort of separation between your senses and yourself.
And that is a very interesting and true pattern. I'm speechless.
Oh, yeah? You don't know this about yourself? Did I uncover a truth?
Well, I suppose it is true that many of my questions are, I don't think this, like, something that I personally cannot reckon.
Yeah.
Because of my own sensory experiences in the world.
This isn't a pattern, though. This isn't something you think about yourself?
I would say that I'm not the best with senses.
Oh, yeah?
Like, as in, I have, like, sensory, like, overload can happen and things like that. So I typically don't dwell on them as much.
You don't want to, like, go seek out a bunch of them.
I don't exactly.
I have terrible news for you.
That's exactly what we're doing today.
A little bit, yeah. We'll keep it focused in. We'll keep our senses concentrated. We'll try not to overwhelm the senses.
My only wish is that the scientific method will be utilized.
Oh,
as in, like, we're not just exploring senses.
We are going to experiment on ourselves today. So here is Puzzle the Pelican. Puzzle the Pelican has questions in Puzzle the Pelican's pouch.
Or his mouth?
This is called the Goober pouch.
Oh, gotcha. Am I selecting?
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
Show me your first questions.
These
are the ones you asked.
This is a very, very important one.
Yeah.
Puzzled the minds of many for centuries.
Yeah, well, at least years.
For centuries upon eons.
Yeah.
Black and blue or white and gold?
What are you?
I'm black and blue.
I'm white and gold.
God!
Oh, wow. Now we can't be friends.
It's really disappointing to hear, but I believe it has been answered. I just wanted to know your own opinion, but if you wanted to know the scientific...
Well, look, there's so many good videos on the science of the dress.
Of course.
When was the dress? How old were you when the dress
centuries,
happened?
Centuries, eons.
Okay, I know that.
Like, I think I was like 8 or 9.
Years ago?
No, I was 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, fourth grade. I think it fit fourth grade.
Okay. Was this a big deal among fourth graders?
Of the week.
So this was not just cross-cultural, it was cross... I did not know that kids were involved.
Yeah, I think that's the most, like, you would see it on the news.
Yeah.
And then, like, your parents would have a different opinion than
right,
you. And
yeah.
It was like... But it was also just, could not comprehend how...
That's
I
the thing
I understand
about
audio
it.
Illusions. I don't understand how visual illusions can
it's
exist.
It's wild. It's so, to me, so obviously white and gold. It took me years to see blue and black. But I have a present for you. I have a surprise. So this dress is so blue and black.
It is so
blue and black.
No way. This is the model of the dress?
This is the dress, the actual dress as it was originally manufactured.
No
So
way.
It wasn't the one that was in the picture, but this is the actual
and
dress.
And there was never a white and gold variant. It was only
no.
ever. Of course.
It was only ever.
Duh.
Yeah. So super cute dress. A little lacy. And like, looking at it, it almost, because I've looked at the dress so many times, this looks like an optical illusion to me.
Even though it's a
totally normal dress.
Of course it does, in reality, look much more black and much more blue.
The
entire illusion is because if you
There's
see
like a
the
weird
light,
color balance
if you
thing.
Think it's light and if you think it's not.
The fact that it can be so different, and like a majority of people see blue and black, and I don't know why.
Well,
I see.
I think we know why.
So a majority of people are correct. I was incorrect. I would have gone to my grave saying that it was white and gold.
Yes.
But the thing that this points out to us, so like we are constantly looking around and like different colors aren't always the same.
Yes.
Depending on the environment. Like the sun's doing stuff, lights are doing stuff, lights bouncing around. There's different wavelengths all of the time. But our brains are interpreting that and they're saying like, okay, so this is next to something that color. And like it's doing like auto white balancing.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so we don't know that that's happening. That is a system that is being run by our brains, and we are not seeing the world as it actually is. We are seeing the world as we interpret it.
Does that mean that you white balance in any situation more often than others?
You are constantly white balancing.
No, as you as a white and gold individual, does that mean that you think
so.
You... Okay.
I don't think so. I think... this is way better than astrology.
Yeah.
As a white and gold, do you see things differently from me?
You know, Hank, white and gold as in you're white and you're gold.
That's
golden.
You know, that's what my wife says to me every morning. No. The people laughing in the room are the ones who know my wife the most. I love this so much because, like, there was the moment of it. Right.
Of course.
It was like the peak of the internet when we all did this nice, stupid thing together before everything fell apart.
It truly was a community.
And so you barely got that as a conscious being. My son is 9 right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember things.
I remember this.
Okay, I guess he was remembering things now. I should be more careful. But the other thing that like it is if you like look at not the dress, but if you look at the situation, our perception long enough, there's just a lot to like learn here that is very counterintuitive. And that I think is like relatively new human knowledge about how different our senses are from reality.
And from each other.
Yeah, yeah. Which is so weird. I mean, you and
Wacky.
I, we get stuff way, like we, our worlds are way more similar than like me and a dog.
Of course.
Yeah. And then there's like bats and then there's like insects. And they all have like, these different ways of seeing the world. And like that world is also the world. So the world that we perceive isn't really the world. It's our version of it.
I think about the fact that like mantis shrimp can see 26 colors or whatever. But not only can see those colors are everywhere all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like his, but no. They exist all the time.
They call it the sensorium.
Yeah.
So it's like the world as your senses experience it.
Mm-hmm. And that's all we know.
That's all we get to know. Unless they did this thing
life
recently
is a prison.
Where they shined a laser. Life is a prison. The body is a prison.
That's true.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Life is an adventure.
But the body is a prison.
Get that on a t-shirt.
They did this experiment where they shined like a specific kind of laser into the side of a person's eye while they were doing something.
Sure.
And they were able to see a color that no human had ever seen before.
How did they? What if he lied?
I don't know. They did the math.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's a new one. I don't think, like if he was the only one to see it.
No, they did it to a few different people.
Okay.
But they were all researchers in the lab, so that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the best environment.
Guys, I swear it was a new color. It was like a really, really dark purple, like one that you guys don't even.
You wouldn't even know. But apparently they did. It's just that we live in this world.
It's not the world.
But it's not the world. And this is how we learn about that. But I want to talk more about it through another lens. So I'm going to put the dress away and you're going to ask your next question.
Yay! All right.
Okay.
Oh my God. Here we go.
This is the whole episode. We only need to do 2 questions.
How the fuck is Coke Zero 0 calories?
Uh-huh.
This is one that I've debated with so many people.
Can I read the exact words
please,
you said after this?
Please.
It's not fucking LaCroix. It tastes like 5 trillion ingredients.
Yeah. It's not. How is that a net zero to your, as in it doesn't come out brown. It comes out yellow as my pee. Something happened.
It is getting,
and something happened in my body that processed it and it existed. Yeah. It didn't just not exist. And then The fact that it does not add anything compared to the sugary one that gets you the sugar crash, blah, 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 yeah. blah, and they taste basically the same.
They don't.
I don't get why every drink is not just this water substance
yeah.
that scientists have made.
So you've now asked a question that I don't have an answer to.
Okay.
I have answers to lots of these, but
please.
Why doesn't it come out brown is not one that I had, had expected or researched.
What does it?
I actually don't know why it doesn't come out brown. I'm not sure where the brown goes or what happens to the brown. My guess is that the brown, well, so an important thing. Is that pee comes from the blood.
I was going to say brown just goes to the poop.
Brown might go to
the poop. Right?
Like, I don't know if it does.
Only the water goes to the pee.
The brown might get chemically messed with by the liver or some other system and turned into something else. But I don't exactly know what the brown is.
It doesn't matter. I just want to know.
So I knew this one was going to be fun, but I did not know the direction it was going to go. So first, we need to ask the question, what is the brown? And this is weirder than I thought. Unlike most food colors, the brown in Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any soda is actually many things. Coca-Cola uses what's called class 4 caramel color as its coloring, or E150D. And the European Food Safety Association describes caramel colors as a, quote, complex mixture of compounds made by heating carbohydrates under controlled processing conditions. So it's basically, though not exactly, the brown that you get when you make caramel. It's actually quite a bit more complicated than that in terms of how they actually make it, but you get a ton of molecules when you do this. There might be more individual kinds of molecules in the brown that goes in the Coke than there are in the entire rest of the Coke. There's little molecules, and there's medium molecules, and there's big, long quasi-polymers all in that brown coloring, and most of the brown comes from a bunch of complicated chemistry in the bigger molecules that absorb a really wide range of wavelengths of light. This makes them dark colored, but they do not absorb everything, so they're kind of brown. So that's what the molecules are. The question is, what happens to those molecules when you put them in your body? To make your pee brown, they've basically got to go from the mouth to the stomach to the small intestine, across the gut wall intact, into the portal blood, and then they survive liver processing, into the systemic blood, and then they survive kidney filtration and secretion, and then they are in the urine at a visible concentration. I thought the answer was going to be some kind of complex chemistry in the liver. And there is a little bit of that, especially with the smaller molecules, which do get broken down into simpler metabolites and then peed out. But the much bigger story here, the vast majority of the chemicals in the brown coloring and the brown, which is the bigger molecules, those big molecules, they're the brownest molecules, they're weird and they're large and they have a lot of charged parts, and that's exactly the kind of molecule that your intestinal wall does not let pass through. So it's not a liver thing, because the molecules never leave your gut. They never enter your body. They don't make your pee brown, because your pee is made from blood, and these molecules never get to your blood. They leave through feces, possibly partially modified by gut microbes along the way, but they definitely don't make your pee brown, because they mostly make your poop brown. Not actually. Other things make your poop brown, but they might make your poop slightly browner. Aren't you glad we do this? It's fun. This episode of Ask Hank Anything is sponsored by Ground News. Believe it or not, I don't happen to immediately know the answer to every question I am asked. Answering our guests' questions accurately and thoughtfully takes quite a lot of research. It's fun, but sometimes there's a lot of information to sift through, and that's where a tool like Ground News can actually be extremely helpful. Ground News provides you access to all sides of a story by gathering all sources into one place, allowing me to see multiple perspectives and how different sources report on the same story in different ways. For example, here's a story on California's recent ban on sell-by food labels in order to reduce confusion and food waste. Looking at this story with Ground News, I can see it has 103 different sources, with 32% having a bias that tracks left-leaning, 61% center, and 7% right-leaning. It looks like the sources that lean left consider this a win for consumers, while those that are more center are keeping their coverage more procedural. With all the stories being put in one convenient place, I can already see the varied approaches they took with their headlines. But I can also read through these stories and compare for myself how it was covered differently. I can get more information without feeling overwhelmed, and I can choose sources that I already know are credible. Give it a try at ground.news/complexly. If you sign up with this link, you'll get 40% off the Vantage plan, which gives you unlimited access to every Ground News feature. Make sure to use the link in our description or the QR code to sign up so that you can see the full picture and think freely for yourself. So this is very much in the same vein of, like, sensations are weird. So you know that you have senses.
I don't. What did you say?
You have senses.
I do have senses.
Yes. You've got the five that they tell you about in elementary school.
And the six. Just me.
Yeah, I'm actually dead. You're the only person who knows I'm here.
That's my sixth sense. Yeah.
It's they're just sort of like indulging you.
I prefer Paranorman myself. For those Paranorman heads watching.
I don't think that camera can see you.
Really, I've been pointing into it like this whole time. Okay, whatever.
So, like, people yell at me about this, but I think you have like 200 senses.
Sure,
minimum.
Sure.
I think that every smell is kind of a different sense. Not really.
I know what you mean.
But like cinnamon,
telling
me that cinnamon and poop are the same sense? No. Like that's got to be two different senses, smell-wise. I don't mean just sitting on a table.
I get it.
And I definitely think that like bitter and sweet, that feels like a different sense.
Exactly.
But you also have things like you can sense when you haven't had a lot of food. You can sense when you haven't breathed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a feeling. That's conscious experience.
You know the microbiglia? Check if you have to pee. What was that? not touch.
Yeah.
That's not touch.
Yeah, why did
that's something else.
Like, why wasn't that yet raising itself to the level of my awareness before I checked?
Yeah,
so good. Because it's not just the sensation of having to pee, it's like turning your conscious light, like flashlight
because you're
on
not thinking
the
about
pee
it
sensation.
Yeah.
I have a Coke Zero for you. That's a regular Coke.
Oh.
It's got Santa on it. This is a Coke Zero.
Oh, goody. They both have Santa on it.
I hate Coke Zero. You said they taste the same, so you get the Coke Zero.
I if that's all they have, I will drink it and be like, oh, this tastes like generic Coke. Like,
right. Because you don't even prefer Coke. You're a Dr. Pepper person.
I am a Dr. Pepper person. It's true.
So, yeah. The choice of a new generation. That's Pepsi, actually. But since they didn't pay for it, I had to mess it up. But if you want to pay for it, Coca-Cola, I'll say the right thing, whatever you want me to say. Whatever your slogan is right now.
They might kill you.
This tastes... I wouldn't put it past them.
This tastes like Pepsi, you know? Like
take
like,
that, Coke!
Like
that's what you get for not sponsoring.
So this says...
Yeah.
First time I've seen 40 milligrams of sodium. Usually it's just 0000.
Can you find the sweeteners on there?
The sweeteners, I can see the ingredients, which is water, caramel color, phosphoric acid, aspartame. This the one that kills you.
Aspartame.
Potassium, benzonite, to protect taste.
Yeah.
In parentheses. Natural flavors, potassium citrate, acetylated potassium, caffeine, stevia extract.
Oh, a stevia extract. Well, dang it. I thought that it was Ace K, but it doesn't matter. There's so...
What does that mean?
That's another kind of artificial sweetener. I didn't know they used stevia.
Stevia extract.
Stevia, is that the last one?
That's the last one, the least amount.
Good old Atlanta, Georgia. Contains phenylalanine. Oh, it also has Ace K.
That's the word that I could not say. That's acetylamine potassium.
Yeah. It has three different artificial sweeteners in it.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And how do none of those net zero affect the body or don't get processed into fat or carbs or anything else?
So they're just not food.
Yeah.
So lots of things aren't food. Almost everything isn't food.
Not with that mindset. Almost anything can be food.
You could definitely eat almost anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll die.
But most things
are not. And very rarely will it be energy. So this is like stuff that we're metabolizing to turn into energy. And that's going to be three things. It's proteins, it's fats, it's carbs. Those are the only,
What's the secret one?
Well, alcohol you can metabolize.
But that's not like, calories.
You can get calories out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, calories is anything you can turn into energy. That's what calories is. So calories, like the way that we calculate calories, we burn it.
Yes, but if I ate like a block of wood.
Right, you can burn a block of wood. This is a great point, Georgie.
Would I get any, is there a protein fiber thing?
There's only certain chemicals that your body has the machinery to break down. And there are other things, but so like vinegar you can also break down, like acetic acid, you can get calories out of that.
Yeah.
So like there are some things that are on the edge here. But those are the three main ones. And they are things that your body needs. Like you really want a balance of all three of those in order to survive. And it uses that, and that's like the thing that makes you alive. It lets you be here. It lets you worry about death. It lets you build a little castle. Like, that's the main stuff.
Yes.
And so your body is really tuned to want those things, and it craves them. And sugar is a particular good source of energy, and also traditionally a quite rare one. So, like, back in the day, it would be hard to get sugar. So it'd be like a huge success to find, like, a nice sweet fruit or something. Mm-hmm. We evolved these very complicated sugar receptors. Our main tastes are all very pretty simple.
Yeah.
Except for sugar. The sugar receptor is actually very complicated because there's a bunch of sugars that it has to detect. So there's like maltose and there's sucrose and there's glucose and there's fructose, and these are all slightly differently shaped molecules, and it has to detect all of them as sweet, though it can actually detect them as differently sweet.
But they still exist in nature like that.
Yeah. So our sweet receptors evolved this complexity in order to taste the kind of the same sensation with a bunch of different molecules.
Yes.
And that means that there's a bunch of other molecules that can bind to that in like weird different ways and trigger some version of that sweet sensation, though not the exact same. So when we first started doing artificial sweeteners, and it was just aspartame and the other one, I can't remember. The ones that I had growing up, there's just two.
Lead.
Lead acetate actually was one back in the day. That's not good for you. But yeah, they would. The Romans would, like, I don't know if this is real, but drink wine out of lead cups because made it taste sweeter. Yeah.
Oh, I just I just did a funny. Lead is one of the fructose ones.
Yeah, it binds to the sweet receptor.
Yeah, yeah.
Just by chance, these molecules do this.
Yes.
But they don't do it quite the same as sugar, which is why they taste different, but they all do it slightly differently, which is why if you mix a bunch of them together, you get a better simulation of sweetness because they're balancing those different sweeteners in order to bind to the sweet receptor in a way that better mimics the binding of an actual sugar molecule.
Right. So they're able to bind to the sweet receptor that is supposed to be picking up sugar.
Yeah.
And it make it taste like it, even though it has nothing to do with sugar.
And then when that like binding happens, the receptor like changes shape and it sends a signal into your nerves and is detected by your brain as sweetness. So
what a world.
We're just hacking these sweet receptors. And I have, Hannah, can you bring me my little plate of mysterious white powders? So Hannah is delivering us three mysterious white powders.
Are these
which I was just preparing in the kitchen, feeling very self-conscious about it.
These are wonderful piles.
Yeah, these are three sweeteners, and I want you to have a little bit of each of them, and do not have a lot.
Okay, I'll do a dip. Okay, so is one of them real sugar?
I want you to tell me.
Okay, let's try the most like sugar one. Too fluffy to be sugar.
Okay. That one was sugar.
Man. All right.
Well, that's a lot.
Okay, fine. Jeez, is it like going to hurt me?
No, it won't hurt you.
That is bad. It's just powdered sugar.
No, that one's aspartame.
Gotcha. And is that, you can get it in like a little pack?
So this is pure aspartame.
Yeah.
So usually when you get it in a packet, it's mixed with a bunch of stuff to knock down its sweetness to the level of sugar. So that you pour a packet in and it feels like you've poured a sugar amount in.
That's like, is like lingering in my mouth.
It is so sweet.
It is.
It's 200 times sweeter than sugar.
I feel like I have sugar in my mouth, but like I'm still tasting it, but there's nothing in there.
It's going to be like hours.
Cool.
I did it this morning, so I know. Oh, what's that one like? I'd actually haven't tried that one.
Oh my God, maybe I just got like a chemical granule, but that's like, it has like a,
Oh my God, that is so, it's like so
sweet.
What
is that one?
So that one's, like that's called Ace K. Mm, oh my God, that's really messing with me.
Yeah, it's not fun.
So the artificial sweeteners also have off-target flavors. So you really, I tasted it too. You tasted an off-target bitterness to that one.
Yeah.
And so that's because we got so much.
Yeah.
But if you do a little bit, you just taste the sweetness. You might get a little bit of the bitterness, but like in a Coca-Cola.
No, of course, it's
gonna
just get mixed in. That amount in a Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Ha! Blech.
It's like...
It's so sweet.
Like imagine a pepper, like the hotness that you still feel after you eat a pepper, but it is
sweet.
Sugar.
It's lingering.
And like all on the roof of my mouth in like a stripe.
So in... So in part because the sugar receptor did not evolve to bind to these things.
Yeah.
They bind to it kind of weird and can actually bind it to it like harder and more and like stick
times.
To it. So it,
well,
it doesn't...
It's sticking.
It's like takes time to actually... for the mouth to move, to get it off of the sweet receptor.
Yeah.
And the sweet receptor just keeps sending the signal because something is bound to it.
So if it's 200 times sweeter, why do they need so much of it in the, like, why does this taste like even sugarier Coke?
Well, they don't put a lot of it in.
Right.
So they put it, like, the crazy thing about Diet Cokes is that they cost way, like, diet drinks cost way less to make because this stuff is super cheap.
It's cheaper to make than
sugar you have to grow.
Right.
Like you have to have a whole, like, farm for it.
Right.
And you put a ton of it in.
And then this comes
out the other side
blender.
Of the chemical factory.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, like, you just, like, have a big chemical plant that's making that stuff out of petroleum distillates or whatever. And then, like, it just comes out and it's extremely sweet per unit. Now, I know that we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I went to a further experiment so that you So the thing that freaks me out about all of this
mm-hmm.
is that, again, I am just like a bunch of cells, and my experiences are just cells doing things.
Yes.
And the way that this really is emphasized to me is with these. So these are dehydrated miracle fruit. Have you ever heard of miracle fruit?
Oh, my gosh. I've always wanted to try this.
Oh,
it's
good.
The thing that, like, makes it...
Yeah.
Sweet thing sour and sour thing sweet or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes sour thing sweet.
So
these are little miracle berry cubes.
Okay.
We put these in our mouth. You just like let them sit. Yeah, it kind of dissolve over time.
What is it?
It's a fruit.
A real fruit?
It's a real fruit. And this is going to be my Miami fruit. They grow them in Miami. And then they dehydrate
it's
them.
It's very tangy.
It's very tangy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super pleasant.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm going to swish it around. Make sure it coats all the inside of your mouth.
I'm at the rind. I'm at the patch of limp skin that's left once you suck it all.
I'm just gonna let that sit. And then what is happening, and you don't know that it's happening right now, is that there's a molecule called miraculin. They named it miraculin. That is coating the outside of the sweet receptor. So it's just sitting on top of there. It's not activating it. It's just sitting there.
It's still sitting there even though I swallowed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's gonna stay sitting there for a long time. So this takes like tens of minutes it will stay connected to it. So, yeah, I want to see if this works. Let's each... So, lemon is, in my experience, lemon is awesome, but lime is amazing. So, let's start with lemon.
I would love to try it. It is the most bitter one. You're just... Oh, go
ahead. Oh, my God, it's so good. I'm not messing with you.
I feel like you're lying. Whoa. Wait. Whoa.
Mm.
And is this, like...
So what happens?
Is it hurting me?
That's a good question.
Like, because I would be
pain. If you did it a bunch, yeah. So eventually, a lemon has
I was just eating a lemon each day.
Of like two and a half, that's probably fine. A Coke is like three. So it's like 10 times more acidic.
It kind of feels like it is hurting me.
Yeah. But you like it.
But it's completely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in I feel a little sour.
Right. Ooh. Oh my God, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the best tastes I've ever experienced.
It really is good.
And so what's happening is the acidity changes the shape of the miraculin.
Yeah.
And it turns into a new shape that fits right there, perfectly into the sweet receptor, way better than any artificial sweetener does. So it tastes exactly like real sweet.
So if it fits into the sweet receptor, how does it block sour?
It doesn't. You still taste the sour, but it tastes like lemonade.
Right,
so it's
because
like,
it's
with
so
the
sugary.
Sweet, it tastes amazing.
I get it.
Oh God, it's so weird.
So I'm gonna try lime.
It makes me feel like a machine. Like I'm just made of parts.
It's very strange.
I want to see you eat the lime. I love the flavor of lime so much, but you can't really enjoy it because it's too sour.
It's true. The only thing is I wouldn't do this. This is a great treat,
yeah.
But I wouldn't choose this for dessert because of the fact that it, like, I wouldn't prefer this over lemonade because there is that little, like...
It's too much?
Too much sweet.
Yeah. It's too so sweet.
It's so sweet.
You could water it down. Oh, but I bet just diluted lemon juice would taste... Great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's so weird. So this is what's up with artificial sweeteners. And what this makes me realize is that we're not there yet. Like, artificial sweeteners could be way better.
Yeah.
So there's no sugar in this, what we're eating right now. But it tastes way more real than any artificial sweetener I've ever had.
Of course. So just put that in there.
Yeah.
But that has sugar.
Put what in where?
The miracle fruit has sugar in it?
It has a tiny bit.
Yeah, but like fruit
and,
sugar.
And you don't actually have to have it, so that has sugar, but you could take the miraculin out of it. Like, you can get tabs that don't have sugar.
Oh, that are just miraculin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But having the actual fruit is really cool to me because it, like,
it's really cool.
It's like, this isn't something we made.
No, we this discovered
this. This is a weird discovery that someone, they had this fruit and they were like, it's okay. And then they had something else and they're like, my mouth is acting weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
First guy to eat a lemon after miracle fruit was just a guy who liked to eat lemons already.
Yeah. What was he thinking? So, yeah, I love it. And I just, the senses, man. Okay, that's all I remember from your question. So from now on, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Okay, great. Awesome. Okay, this is a good one. Why do cats lick themselves all day with their disgusting booty fish breath and still smell like laundry detergent and vanilla?
This is a good one.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question, first of all, like practically,
yeah.
I'm gonna get deeper than this, but practically, the booty fish breath is not stored in the saliva. It's like near and around the teeth. It's in the back of the throat. The saliva itself.
Saliva does not smell bad.
Cat saliva doesn't. Human saliva can.
Yeah.
And interestingly, in part because cats don't eat sugars, and sugars are what get metabolized really effectively and easily by bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to never have sugars in their mouth.
Mm.
Don't feed your cat. My cat loves Lucky Charms. Don't ask why there's Lucky Charms in the house. We live in Montana.
Really,
we're living that traditional middle American lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, but like, gummy bear...
Slightly Irish.
Goes nuts. Goes nuts for Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
And not the marshmallows.
Mellows. But no, the crisps.
The sweet crisps.
Of course.
And so we have to, like, hide them from him. This isn't like something we give him as a treat.
Yeah.
We don't want him to eat them. But, like, he'll come by and try and get them. Yeah, it's... He loves himself some corn. Anyways, because cats aren't good at metabolizing sugar.
Gotcha.
They're not supposed to. They're predators. They eat protein and fat. That's their main thing. But anyway, they also have saliva that is intentionally designed to decrease smell. So they have super strong enzymes in their mouths that kill bacteria.
Yeah.
And then when they lick their skin, they are trying to make themselves have very
scentless.
Little smell.
Yeah.
Because they are camouflaging themselves.
Yeah.
So they need to be invisible because they're what's called mesopredators.
Mm-hmm.
Or mesopredator. I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
They're not top of the food chain.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And they're not bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
So they have to be invisible to prey and to predators.
Yeah.
So they are working really hard to not smell.
That makes perfect
Whereas
sense.
Dogs are like, I'm happy to smell. I'll use that smell and we'll communicate with it and we'll do a bunch of stuff. I don't really care.
Because
they're not, like, they don't ambush predate like cats do. So
they
have to, cats have to get close to an animal before they pounce.
But not only that, like an observation I was going to make with this, like if it was unanswerable, I don't know, was my cat will often smell very much of the laundry detergent of our blankets and such.
Yeah.
They're unlike like any other animal, because of their makeup of their saliva breaks down the scents and camouflages them. Yeah.
And so they're like, there can also be like scent sponges where they take on the scents of their environment.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that's
cloak
like
themselves.
I don't know if that's an evolutionary adaptation or if that's just like a thing that happened to happen.
Yeah.
But it seems like it would be a good thing to have, to like smell like the leaves that are around you or whatever. Now, cats do have a very little bit of scent communication, so they'll do,
territorial.
And they'll also have like little scent patches right here.
Oh, yeah?
And they rub those on the top of their head, which is super cute.
Oh, wait, what does that do?
So they're taking the scent from here and they're putting it on their head. They're also cleaning their heads.
A scent patch
they
that
have like a
comes,
like oil
makes
patch.
Scents come out and they rub the scents on their head.
Yeah. So if you sniff the top of a cat's head, that smell that
delicious.
You smell is their smell. So that's the smell that they produce, which is like a dusty vanilla
delicious.
Smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I can't believe that like there was a reason.
There's a
reason. I thought everyone was just like, I love my cat so much that it doesn't smell bad to me.
No, yeah. Their breath can totally smell.
Yeah, of course. We have three cats in our house and one reeks.
Yeah, might have tooth problems. Sometimes it's because they have bad teeth.
We should check.
I have this problem.
What do you call it? Scottish fold. So she's already a little inbred. Yeah, so it very well could be tooth problems.
God. Yeah, I've got two giant big boys, and they got some fishy breath sometimes. You're a cat person.
I am.
Yeah. Do you feel like you are really a cat person? Were you raised with cats?
I was not. Okay. I was only raised with dogs.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted a cat myself my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three different roommates, three different cats. So to each roommate. So meaning like we each own our own.
You each have a cat.
Yes.
But there's three people and so there's three cats.
Yes.
Nice.
So it's
which
it's
is your cat?
Situation. Lady. She is a tortoise shell. Oh. She's the youngest. I just got her in May. Mm. She's the sunshine one of the group, the friendliest.
So as a person raised with dogs, I'm like this too, raised with dogs but is a cat person
yes.
now. What do you think it is about you that made you make that transition?
The fact that the dog didn't like me that much.
Oh.
Didn't love me.
Because cats also don't like you that much.
No, but the cats that when they like you, it's a different feeling of, oh, I get to share this space and earn respect rather than,
oh,
the person that walks you or feeds you is going to be your favorite in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
really
know what
focused
I mean?
Loyalty.
Yeah. I like the earned loyalty.
This is also what
me.
I like about cats.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, are we going to? And they're like, I'm just going to give you a little cuddle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, awesome. This is the first time in 5 days. Which is also
great.
How my son is. He does not, he's not a cuddler. And so whenever I get a little bit of affection, I'm like, I will just stay still.
No sudden movements.
Exactly. All right. So now we know about that. I am
that
loving answering your questions.
No,
this one's also about perception.
Yeah.
And like, it is also about like how organisms evolve to be perceived in the world.
Yes.
And to perceive the world.
But a perception that without science, I would not be able to conclude myself.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm glad to help. These are not things that I knew. Researching these questions is always so fun. I never know what I'm going to find out about the
world.
Oh, so
you don't know everything.
Yeah, correct.
Disappointing.
Correct. Thank you to Deboki Chakravarti, by the way, our research assistant, for helping with these questions.
Awesome. Okay, this is a really exciting one.
Okay.
What is your dream version of the public school system?
Gosh, yes.
So if you could completely overhaul the current K-12 public school system, what would you change/keep? How would you adjust the current structure?
So I thought a lot about this one.
Yeah.
So I've been doing my like the education on the internet thing for a long time now. And one thing that I have learned is how little I know about how schools work and why they work the way that they do.
Yeah.
It's actually very complicated. So I feel very unqualified
okay.
to answer this question. But I left it in, one, to say that. Two, because I feel like people can often misunderstand what I do and they think that I'm a teacher.
Yes.
Which I'm super not. Which I didn't really understand until like I was doing it. Where what I do is I like make tools for teachers. So it's like, I'm making desks out here. like this is a useful thing and I hope that people will use it however they want to use it. But I do help people learn. And so, like, that's the thing I'm trying to do, like, lower barriers to understanding and like, help people understand the things that I think are the most important, especially when it comes to science. So I do have an opinion there. I do have thoughts there.
Yes.
So when it comes to learning about science specifically, that's where I feel like
awesome.
I have some expertise. So I can talk about that.
Please.
I wish that I had good answers to your actual question.
No, but this is, if you have a specific category that should be...
Right.
It's even better.
Okay.
More
so,
passion.
There's no wrong answer. What do you think science is?
Just the questions, the steps, the method.
Uh-huh.
The scientific method. If you're using that to get a conclusion, it's not math anymore or it's not spelling.
Uh-huh.
That's science.
Right. Scientific method stuff.
Yes.
Gotcha. That's good. So there's like three steps to this. And you actually said the two final steps.
Which is?
So the number one step is science is just like all the information.
Right.
Like photosynthesis, chlorophyll, you know?
Yeah.
Cumulonimbus clouds, neutrons. Science is like a list of things that we know about the world. And I have to memorize those things. Then I will also know about the world. And then number two, science is process. So the scientific method, like the tools that we use to get those facts.
Yes.
But then the first thing you said is what I actually think science is.
Questions? Yeah.
So this is really hard to do in the way that schools are structured right now.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that I think is most missing and the thing that I, like the tool that I use most often is how did we figure this out? Like, so there was a person, and sometimes they didn't even have a question. Maybe it was as simple as like, I ate this fruit.
Yeah.
And then I had a Coke and it tasted different. And I was like, what's going on? And so I tasted a bunch of other stuff. And then I had a lemon and I was like, what the is happening right now. My life has changed forever. I've discovered something. And then we had to do a bunch of like molecular biology and biochemistry to figure out what was actually happening. Mm-hmm. So the real thing that I would love if there was more opportunity for in science education is not like stuff is made of atoms, but like how did we figure out that stuff was made of atoms?
Yeah.
What was that process like?
You can't see them.
No. And in fact, we knew that they existed way before we ever saw them.
Yeah. Exactly. What?
But how?
What?
How did we know
that?
How'd
that guy know?
We found helium on the sun before we found it on Earth, which is very weird because we've never been to the sun. Like, those are the kinds of stories where, like, there was just, like, something weird was going on.
Yeah.
People were finding new ways to ask questions of the universe, and they were getting weird answers, and they had to figure out how those answers made sense.
Yeah.
And that's why helium is named after the sun, Helios. So
is that the hypothesis that it was the elements that would have one and two freaky deaky?
Yeah. So we had figured out that there was probably
an element that is
there.
One.
Yeah. Oh. So we knew about hydrogen. We knew had one.
Yeah.
And we knew about lithium and that had three.
Yeah.
We didn't know about helium. And so it was like, well, there's probably a second one, but we've never seen it. Because on Earth, what happens to helium is it floats.
Oh, you think?
So it goes to the top of the atmosphere, so you can never find it. And then it gets blown off by solar winds. So we're constantly losing our helium.
Are we out?
No, we're good on helium for now.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are.
No, but, like, is that real? We're going to be gone by, it's going to be gone by 2030?
It turns out that was a worry. And then, as with often happens when you have shortages of things, we just went and got more of it. So helium.
Where?
Yeah.
The air?
No. So helium, when we get helium, it is created in the Earth's crust through radioactive decay.
Sure.
It piles up inside of the same pockets that natural gas, methane, piles up inside of it.
So we were thinking it was like a fossil fuel situation.
It is kind of like a fossil. Like, there is a limited amount of it, but it is a byproduct of getting natural gas out of the ground. And so most helium that comes out with methane, we don't capture it. We just release it. And so if we need more of it, we just capture more of it. And also, in the intervening time, we have become much more methane dependent. So a lot of our power plants are converting over from coal to methane, and we're getting really good at
getting more methane.
And so we get more methane, along with that comes a bunch of other stuff, but that includes helium.
So until the methane runs out,
that will
we
be the big worry.
Will not have...
And in fact, probably in the future, we will have to, I don't know how else you get helium.
How do you make it? Yeah. The sun?
Fusion? Yeah, like maybe if we have like big fusion plants that are like smashing hydrogen together, but I don't think that's going to be the way that we
do
it.
And enough?
Yeah.
One atom at a time?
Yeah. So in the future, we may actually not need methane anymore, but we'll still need helium.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird problem to solve.
We need it to make the funny voices.
Yeah. How will children have party balloons?
Yeah.
And also people get MRIs. That's one of the big uses. MRIs are good scans.
Good.
Good job, everybody.
We support MRIs in this establishment.
When appropriate, when asked for by a licensed medical professional.
There's always those protesters out there going, MRIs, they let you know too much.
That should be a mystery. I don't need to know about that. Pancreas? That's fake.
That's a made-up word. That's not real.
They're all made-up words, Georgie.
What about, like, the... Okay, never mind.
Well, hit me. Do you think that there's some that aren't made up?
Yes.
Okay.
But...
I have some thoughts, actually.
There's, like, Booba and Kiki.
Okay, great. Now we're talking about Booba and Kiki?
Like, isn't that a word through any language that people can determine what it means?
Future Hank. Current Hank is not well-versed enough on Booba and Kiki, though he knows what they are. But future Hank is going to tell you about Booba and Kiki. Hello. First, I must explain Booba and Kiki to people if you are not aware. There are these two shapes. Look at them. And then now we ask which one is Booba and which one is Kiki. And most people, a very large percentage, see that the blobby one is Booba and the spiky one is Kiki. This might just seem like obvious and boring, but it's actually pretty weird. So the question then becomes, like, are words for things just entirely invented? Or is there some amount of constraint? And it would appear that with Booba and Kiki, maybe there is some constraint. And we're going to get into it. But first,
I want to talk about whether or not this is something that's specific to our language or our writing system. And it does seem like Booba and Kiki are pretty cross-cultural. Like, you might just think, like, the K is a spiky shape and the B is a round shape, and so that's what it's about. It's about the writing system. But no, this goes across different writing systems. There was a study where researchers tested people across 25 languages, 9 language families, and 10 writing systems. Overall, people really did tend to match Booba with the round shape and Kiki with the spiky shape, though this was not perfect. The effect showed up cleanly in 17 of 25 languages. But that's real enough that if you, like, take away the Roman alphabet, it's still there. It's shown up in people who do not use a written language, so the K in Kiki looking angular is probably not the explanation. It seems to be based in the sound themselves. Booba is all soft and voiced and round, and Kiki is sharper and it's got those stops. So, does this mean that words aren't made up? No, words are definitely made up, but it does mean that there are things that matter to a community of brains creating language together. That does not mean that Booba naturally means round in the secret language of the universe. It means that when humans are asked to attach sounds to things, the sounds are not blank. They matter. There's a thing in there that matters, and that's very cool. A better way to say it, and I appreciate the pushback, is a word is a human invention, and human inventions are made by bodies and brains working together with the systems that they have, including the sounds that they make and how that feels inside of the brain. The really interesting thing here is that the Booba and Kiki thing is real, and it goes beyond Booba and Kiki. Bubble and blob and balloon and bulb are all Booba words for Booba things. Spike and stick and tack are all Kiki words for Kiki things. However, that's not a universal thing. Like, cake is a pretty Booba thing with a pretty Kiki name. But there was a study that looked at more than 1,700 English object names and found that words for rounder objects were more likely to contain round associated sounds, while words for spikier objects were more likely to contain spiky, stoppy sounds. So words are made up. But we are human and we have preferences. There are choices being made that no one realizes they are making when they are making them. Language is conventional enough that a round thing can end up being called a cake, but language is embodied enough that bubble feels more bubbly than tick. So I do still think all words are made up, but now I would say it this way: words are made up by us, but the things that we choose are not random. One more thing before we go. Ask Hank Anything is produced by Complexly. Complexly makes a bunch of other shows, including a brand new TV show that comes out today. Eon's Life and Death on Pangaea is a new 6-episode series that explores the Permian period and the most catastrophic mass extinction in our planet's history, known as the Great Dying. The series traces how Earth reached the brink of ecological collapse and how life ultimately recovered. It's one of the coolest stories in all of Earth's history. If you are watching this video, the first episode, I'm so excited about this, is available for you to watch right now on the free PBS app, pbs.org, PBS stations across the country, check your local listings, and at youtube.com/eons.
So back to helium.
Yeah.
We knew that there was probably a second one, and we were starting to do this thing where we would use prisms to have the light from heating up certain elements yeah. come through the prism, and it wouldn't have the full rainbow. It would only have bands.
Yeah.
And so when we did that to sunlight, we got the bands for hydrogen, but then we got the bands for something else that we'd never seen before.
Oh, so that's the first, but that's what we still do to determine, like, the materials.
Yeah, spectroscopy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the first one was done on the sun.
Yeah, and they were like, helium. What's that? We don't have that one.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that I think that
yes, of
that
course.
Should, like, when you're talking about atoms, when you're talking about
yeah,
elements,
don't you want to know
to
how
tell
they...
a story
yes.
about people being confused.
Yeah.
Because what is a student if
you
not
confused? You separate it from history. You, because yeah. you're like, this isn't history class. Who
right.
wants to know about these people?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean,
and you know, I don't even care what that guy's name was. I know people do. I know
yeah.
I should, maybe.
Yeah.
But I kind of don't. Like, in a way, that guy and me are just humanity,
uh-huh.
right? You know?
How did humanity figure this out?
He doesn't need to be remembered. Everybody gets yeah. forgotten.
No.
Almost everybody's forgotten. And just because this guy's discovered helium, I'm like, yeah, other people took care of babies. We don't remember them. I don't need to remember this guy's name, but I do, like, love that humanity figured this out. I feel bad about this.
What's the name of the...
Challenge my assumptions here. I'm sure that we should remember this guy's name. But, like, I can't find myself caring anywhere near as much as I care about the fact that we found an element by looking at the sun.
Yeah.
A place that we have still never been to. I mean, there's probes.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I was going to say, didn't we, like, do something? Like, send one in?
Yeah. We've flown through, like, some of the corona.
Yeah, we know it. We know what's up.
We know a ton of what's up with the sun. Yeah, I apologize to all the people who have worked on the Parker Solar Probe.
You guys are amazing. We don't know what it looks like. We've never been there.
You can't look at it. We don't know what the sun looks like.
We've looked at it.
So I think that there's like a double benefit to this. One, it provides some context on which to hang the information.
Yes.
But two, it actually tells you what science is, which is people asking the universe questions.
Yes.
And getting an answer back and being like, what the heck does this mean?
And even though you were born with this information just existing.
Right. And then
half of humanity wasn't.
Everything we know is something we figured out.
Yeah.
So weird.
No. I figured it out all on my own.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have also figured a lot of stuff out about what it's like to be ourselves, about TikTok. Man, I can't believe we, like, came up as TikTokers together.
Right? I know. In the first year. In the first year of jail. It was all
disease jail.
Yeah, disease jail.
Yeah.
Everyone was just cooking in there.
Those were good times. It was so fun. Now it isn't anymore. It's less fun now.
It is less fun now. Put us back. Make another one. Let's do it again. We're doing a sequel.
COVID 2.
Yeah.
The refleming.
Anybody? The
refleming.
All right, do you want to
I got one giggle behind the camera.
Why does the cucumber retain none of its cucumberness when it's pickled? Is it still there, but the dill numbs your taste buds or something? Oh, that was my little guess on the end, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah. And then he says, because I hate cucumbers, but I love pickles.
That is true.
LMK.
Let me know.
Like your taste.
I did do a little like text, like a couple like acronyms.
We had to do a lot of shortening of your questions, I have to say. There's a lot of editorial decision making going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do this one quick. Can I get some pickles?
For real.
You're very focused on sensations.
It's true. Because this one is one that's puzzled me, again, for a majority of my lifetime.
So you've had cucumbers, they're bad. You've had pickles, they're good.
Yes.
I'm going to have a surprise for you. So this is, have you ever had a bread and butter Vlasic? We got you several kinds. What are your favorite kind of pickle? Kosher dill spear?
Why not? Let's try it. Sometimes dill is sweet. You know, sometimes they mess it up.
Oh, well, I'm going to have a surprise for you right now.
Oh, goody.
Okay. Try not to get too much of it on the couch.
Sure. Are we taste testing?
Yeah. Try it out.
Okay.
It's a normal pickle, I swear to God.
This one's sweet.
You just ate miracle berries.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's still working. That's so cool. No way. It's not even like a bad sweet. It's just still there.
Yeah.
Kind of in the back.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Whoa. I'm like, our dill. You didn't even just trick me.
So I could not help but do an experiment on you.
That was great.
But that does not help answer your question.
It doesn't at all.
So
that's it. No answer.
Cucumber flavor has two things going on. This is a fairly easy answer to question.
Great.
One is it's a mild flavor generally. So,
not to me.
So the vinegar is going to mask that some. But two, it's also going to destroy it. So the cucumber flavor is very delicate. And there's a bunch of stuff going on in pickles. So pickles can be made in a few different ways. They're originally made through fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be little guys in there, and they produce the acetic acid, that is the vinegar molecule. And acid's going to break it down, the salt's going to break it down, the actual microbes are going to eat that stuff.
Yes.
You know, the volatiles.
The cucumber
from
stuff.
The cucumber
flavor.
But not
the physical structure of the cucumber?
Like, they do break down, like, they make it less crispy.
Yeah, so, of course. Yeah.
So they break down and, like, loosen some of the
breakdown.
Cell walls. And you can make pickles different ways, and that will give you different feelings to the pickles themselves. Like, you don't have to do the fermentation part with the bacteria.
Yeah.
You can also just, like, cook them in vinegar, which some people do. But that vinegar is always going to break down that flavor.
It literally destroys
it. It destroys it.
Wow.
And they become a whole different thing.
And the perfect thing, in my opinion.
I do not like them.
Much better than
the
original.
Very strongly flavored. In fact, the only way I can enjoy them is if they're super sweet.
Interesting.
So I should probably
very
eat
interesting.
One. Should I try it?
Please. No, if it's still working for you. Or are those ones sweet? Oh, no.
No, those are also mild. What does it say?
Mild dill.
Mild buffalo.
Did you get it?
Yeah, that's way better than a normal pickle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still very acidic. Ah.
No, it didn't take away like the lemon did.
Man, lemon was good.
It was really good.
God, it worked. I was nervous.
Right? What if I was Miracle Berry?
Yeah.
We discover that I'm like a chameleon.
Have a special tongue.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you poisoned me. Nah, no. So that's what's going on with pickles. Yeah, they're just, the cucumbers are delicate little guys.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Georgie, amazingly, I think there's just one more question left.
And this is the most important question of my questions, I have to say. I've asked, here we go. Although many human adaptations that seem unhygienic don't necessarily affect proper hygiene, it is an objective truth that poop clings to the hairs of the anus if they happen to encase the zone of defecation.
Sure.
So, Hank, why don't you shave your asshole?
It's quite a leap there at the end.
I think it's a reasonable leap because the amount of men in my... I think there's more in the long...
Yeah, it was a long question.
In which men who... Well, if your body is one that happens to produce more testosterone than less testosterone counterparts, they will have more hair on said anus.
Uh-huh. Well, not on the anus, but around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is the place.
In the zone of defecation,
as
you said.
In the zone of defecation, as I said. So, from the amount of women in my life who, it's not like we seek it out. It's not like, oh, it's butthole shaving day.
Yeah.
It's when you're doing the whole thing, you get there.
Uh-huh.
Men don't.
No.
Don't.
Doesn't
touch
doesn't really occur to us.
Doesn't even occur. So the idea that there are men out there.
I would say one of the lines that was from your question that was cut. You know what I'm talking about?
I can say it if you'd like me
sure,
to.
Sure.
I described it as like peanut butter being wiped from a ponytail. If you have it there, you are never going to get it fully clean without a wet wipe.
But that was something wet.
Something wet that is not available in every single
Yeah, we don't always have bidets, yeah.
So, what's your personal solution, if any?
That's terrible. Don't put it on me.
No, because...
the body is a prison.
But life is an adventure.
I actually like the body is a prison, but life is an adventure more than life is an adventure, but the body is a prison. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better.
It gives you some hope.
Okay.
So stop dodging.
Okay. I answered the question. I wrote a whole thing, so
okay.
I can do this.
Okay.
Georgie.
Yes.
So we are in a bad butt situation as humans.
You're going to talk about the chafe?
Yeah.
Man, come on. Peanut butter or chafe? Those are your options.
So I have a unique experience.
Oh, please. I didn't mean to disavow your experience.
No, this is actually unrelated to the chafe. So when I did chemo, I lost my hair.
Yes, I was going to. Yeah.
And I lost my hair everywhere.
Yes.
And so it was like a water slide down there.
Yes.
It was amazing. It's better.
Of course.
But chemo hair, when it comes back, you don't get like full hair at first. You get like soft, fuzzy baby hair. And it's like, everybody wanted to touch my head. And that was great. And like, that's what I would like. I think that if I could change it.
Yes.
I would.
You support.
I would like, I don't want to wax it.
No.
I don't want to shave it.
Okay.
It seems, I don't know how. So there's a certain amount of complete ignorance there. I feel like there's like a sliding scale of shaving ability and like face. Like, it's right there in your face, and you're like, I know what I'm doing. I'm looking at this happening. But then, like, I think that there's a certain amount of, like, the legs are a training ground. And then, you know, you, like, are getting good at, like, shaving without being able to see what you're shaving. And so there's, like, I think there's, like, an amount of a lack of expertise that just isn't developed because we are not societally expected to shave everywhere.
Of course.
And so I'm defending mankind here, and I do mean mankind.
Mm.
And but maybe I shouldn't. Who likes it when men defend men? Nobody.
There's this.
I will say, like, I think that they're like the microabrasion from shaving.
Oh yes.
Like that is not can be not great. But like I think that if I could like in like just inject something into my cleft and have the hairs never come back.
Yes.
I think I'd do it. I'm not a long distance runner. I like I'm That's really, and that and what we're talking about here is that the hair can provide some protection from chafe.
Of course.
Like a friction barrier.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe that, like, even researching this, I even looked up the question, why do we have hair there still? And, like, more of it than in other places on our body.
Yeah.
And it's because of the chafe.
Did you find the YouTube video I made about this?
No.
Oh, that's so disappointing. That's so, it's got so many views. It's got, like, It has gone, like, why do we have butt hair?
I know, it was probably just, like, on the first answer on Google. Just probably,
you just read the AI summary, which just read my video and then repurposed it. Great! Thanks, Google!
Stealing from artists. God, what a world. What a weird situation.
Boils
my blood.
To have ended up in. But, it seems like is a combination of all the stuff I'm talking about right now. But another thing is that our poops are worse than they used to be. And also, we don't squat. So we used to squat, and that would separate out the butt cheeks more.
Of course.
And that would mean the zone of defecation would be smaller.
But what do you mean our poop is worse?
So because our foods are so varied now, and also we don't eat as much fiber, we tend to have more peanut butter-like poop and less, like, dog poop-like poop.
Like a good poop. Yeah, of course. And you don't got nothing on there.
That's exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is possible.
Yes. And in fact, if you eat differently, you can optimize for that.
You can make that happen on purpose?
You just gotta have fiber. You gotta eat like...
I thought fiber was what made it too liquidy.
No. No, fiber binds.
Typically when I got...
Fiber binds.
All right, here's the thing. We're gonna have some personal experience.
I don't mean to discount your personal experience.
Well, typically when I have a poop that slides and I don't have no wipe, as in, like, I wipe and, it's miraculously clean.
Yeah.
That's typically my ones you can knock on.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
like the hard ones that stay together, not the fiber dense dog poops.
Maybe I'm talking out of my butt here. Maybe I don't know enough about the topic at hand. There's definitely certain kinds of indigestible fibers that can bind together. But I don't know. Maybe it can still be slippy.
Well, in a final conclusion, I just like to say there's this great invention called a ball trimmer. And you...
What's the ball? Is it part of the ball?
No,
is it like a trimmer that looks like a ball? Oh, no, it's for the balls.
The balls. I feel like any razor that is not for the face these days are instantly called ball trimmers.
Okay.
For the idea that they're supposed to leave a gap and not be exactly on your skin.
Yeah. Especially in an area where there might be like some...
Exactly.
Ridges.
But not only that, it's not a razor shave. You're not getting your bumps. You're not extracting the hair. And it's something you can...
You don't get the bumps.
In the shower twice a week, you know?
Thank you for the tip.
This is my mission. I believe that every man or a person that happens to have a...
This is such a good transition to your portion of the show where you get to call out whatever you'd like. Not your YouTube, not your TikTok.
No,
but if you go on Amazon...
I would like every person with an overly covered zone of defecation to purchase a they're under $20.
Try it out.
Purchase a ball trimmer. See how you feel. See how easy it is to clean. I feel like I'm changing the world. Like I'm the only one fighting for this cause, and it's a real heavy burden to bear.
Yeah. This
so
is
I'm
a,
glad that
a,
you were able to give me this opportunity.
It's a heavy
today.
And a weird burden. But we've all got those.
Someone's
got
to do it.
That's right. Oh, God. I feel like I've learned so much today.
Me too. But that was the goal.
That was
the
goal.
For me to learn.
That's why we did this.
It is. So thank you.
Thank you.
For learning me one.
Man. Well, it was a pleasure. Yippee high vibe.
That was awesome. This was a day of discovery in many ways.
Uh-huh. We did a lot.
We did do a lot.
You can get the shirt in the description, probably. That we made together?
Right.
Why not?
Which is, the body is a prison,
but life
is an adventure.
Yeah.
It's a really good phrase.
Good. Thank you for coming, and thank you for watching. If you want to ask me anything, you can do that. You can leave your questions in the comments. We'll pick some out over the next few days. I'll answer them. Maybe we'll do even a community post, because sometimes they get buried by other people leaving their funny comments, which I also encourage you to do.
Stop leaving them. No, keep.
Yeah.
Even comment more. Do two. See what happens.
Make two
Say
different
hi,
jokes.
Hank, and then enter, hi, Georgie. See what happens.
Wow. Really engagement farming out here on YouTube.com. You can also subscribe to this channel. It's the Complexly channel. There's a bunch of stuff that goes live on here, not just Ask Ink Anything. So you can subscribe here. It's at YouTube.com/Complexly.
Thanks for watching. You can support Complexly and get bonus videos from Ask Ink Anything and more by going to Complexly.org/support.
Also, if you want to see more of what we're up to, you can join the Complexly newsletter by visiting Complexly.org.